Well, I'm going to try and give it another shot. Just trying to make it simple to understand. Marxism is the effort to get rid of the father's authority in a person's life. Because it's a father's authority. Author meaning one who gives you commands, rules, facts, and truth, and enforces them. Those two elements are the father's authority. And what Marx rejected is a father's authority coming in and telling the child what he can or cannot do. This applies to the workplace, because in a traditional culture, a father will not hire a deviant person. He has limited funds, he has limited time, and therefore he tends to hire skilled people who do not carry immoral behavior into the work environment. It's not an absolute, but it's a generalization that is common to all cultures. Whether the father believes in God, it's still a patriarchal paradigm. There's a top-down authority structure. That's why when Marx said, not feeling at home in a sinful world, critical criticism sets up a sinful world in its own home. That's where we dialogue. When you're told you can do something, say the child is told he can play with a toy. He can do whatever he wants as long as he doesn't destroy it. That would, that wouldn't be good. But he has freedom. He can go, I feel, I think, I like, I don't like. He has that freedom as Adam and the woman had in the garden to eat of any fruit that they wanted to. You could say, I like this fruit, I don't like that fruit. That's dialogue. I feel, I think. That's the language of dialogue. You cannot take that language into the realm of where you've told cannot, must not, thou shalt not. And so when God gave the two commands, he commanded them to eat of these trees, but he commanded them not to eat of that tree. And when they brought dialogue, I feel, I think, I feel like touching it. I don't think there's anything wrong with it because I feel and I think is sense perception. It is subjective. It's an opinion. And when they brought that over, that language over, and Adam just abdicated. He abdicated the authority that God has given him over him, his own life, and over the life of his wife. And this is the problem. The wife is matriarch. She's security-oriented. Men, by nature, go to war. Now, today, they send women to war, but by nature, men are the ones who go out and defend. They're the ones that go in the garage and tinker on something because they want to get ahead. They believe in it. And so they're dedicated to these external things that are on their mind. And so the whole process of the dialectic process is to move conversation, our communication, from discussion, which always carries a father's authority. Discussion always carries an external command, rule, factor, truth that we can fellowship around. Discussion is based on fellowship. Fellowship is based upon discussion. There's an external authority that we both have in common that we communicate around and about and to. Dialogue is subjective. It's how we feel, how you feel, and we can dialogue, but it's to relationship. We have, the relatives. You teach your children, this is right, that's wrong. Then you go to the relative who's doing wrong. And for the sake of relationship, you don't bring up what you teach your children, right from wrong. And so if you want to have fellowship with your children and with, see, Jesus took a child and called a child to him and then took him. He called him first, his obedient child. Then he took him and sat him down before him, didn't run away. He said, you must become like this child. He didn't take a child who was running all over the place. That's not the example. That's a rebellious child. He took an obedient child. See, and so he who does my Father's will in heaven is my brother, sister, mother. I can do nothing of my own self. What my Father commands, that's what I do. That's a patriarchal paradigm. And the whole agenda of Marxism is to negate that. It's not just to get rid of the fathers, but to remove it from society, remove it from the environment so you don't see it anymore, because it's stimulus response. It's of the world. The process cannot accept an external voice. See, prevent someone who, K-N-O-W-S, and that's in capitals, prevent someone who knows from filling the empty space. And so if we're going to have change and fluidity, we have to get rid of the patriarchal paradigm. We have to get rid of the father's authority. That's the agenda of Marxism. And it directly correlates to communication. If you spend your life communicating with yourself, that's that critical criticism within yourself. If you communicate with yourself and you communicate with others and exclude the father's authority, you exclude external commands, rules, facts, and truth that judge you, condemn you, and can cast you out. That's Marxism. That's the concept that Marx was promoting. Now, to create this quote-unquote healthy environment, and this Aristotelian reasoning, create a healthy environment, you produce a healthy person, because it's stimulus response. And so if you want to have a healthy environment, you have to remove what's not healthy in it. Michelangelo carved David. What he did was he removed what wasn't David. See, that's the concept. We just remove from society what is not human behavior. And what's human behavior? Lust of the flesh, lust of the eyes, and pride of life. So anybody who comes in the room and prevents the deviant from having his rights practiced, no inhibition. Look at our culture. That is Marxism. And so, you know, I harp on this, but it is the foundation of communication today. I always start with trust in the Lord with all your heart. Lean not to your own understanding. Trust in the Lord. Adam was to trust in God. The woman was to trust in God, but she leaned to her own understanding. He leaned to his own understanding. It's our nature to lean to our own understanding. Bloom's taxonomy, the knowing at the bottom is sense experience. It's the child's own personal experience that derives the outcome. Not what dad says, not what God says, not an external command, rule, fact, or truth. That's true science, because true science is observable and repeatable. It is set. And God has manifested himself in the creation, because we're not based on stimulus response. The flesh is, but the soul isn't. The soul knows by being told. That's why the first thing God told Adam, he told him, you can eat of these trees, and he told him, you cannot eat of that tree. Only man can read or write a book. Only man can tell someone else and be told by someone else what is right and what is wrong behavior. And this is all about behavior. So if our communication, if your communication with yourself is simply excluding God, God is not in all your thoughts. There's no fear of God before your eyes. All it is what can I get out of this for me? That's your communication with yourself, and that's a communication you have with others. You are going down the same pathway as Karl Marx. That's the Karl Marx in you. The heart is deceitful because it thinks pleasure is a standard of life. Marx says to enjoy the present reconciles you to the actual. In other words, reconciles you to the world. So lust reconciles you to the world. Now, if the heart is deceitful above all things because it says pleasure. That's our heart. It lusts after pleasure. If that's the drive of life and the purpose of life is to augment pleasure, you know, it used to be you taught your children right from wrong. Do right, don't do wrong. Then in the 50s, it came along, have a better life. Nothing wrong with having a better life, but you better do what's right and not wrong to get it. But now we have marriages that go for better or for worse. And then the clause, it's unwritten, but it's put into practice everywhere you turn, even in the church, until someone better comes along. No, it's till death do you part. It's a contract. Two become one. How can you separate it? Even Jesus said when they brought up Moses in the issue of divorce, he said, it was not so from the beginning. That's the one who created the world. He said, it's not so. It was not so from the beginning. Sort of a chide of Moses. It was a hardness of heart. The purpose of the husband is to help encourage his wife to end up in heaven. The purpose of the wife is to encourage the husband to end up in heaven. That's your mission field. And the same thing is to train your children up in the admonition of the Lord. That's the healthy home that Karl Marx was out to get rid of. Once he wrote, once the earthly family, where children humble, deny, die to, control, discipline, capitulate themselves in order to do right and not wrong according to the Father's commands, rules, facts, and truth. Once that earthly family structure is discovered to be the same structure of the heavenly family, who the Son obeys the Father, does right and not wrong according to established commands, rules, facts, and truth that the Father has established. Same structure. The earthly father has sin and he can act like a child, because when you're acting in sin, you're acting like a child, a rebellious child. God calls them children of disobedience. But the patriarchal paradigm are the same. One's on the earth, the other's in heaven. And Mark says, once you discover that the earthly family, in his mind, created the heavenly family, because he didn't accept it, then the earthly family has to be destroyed. You have to destroy the traditional home. There's no other purpose for Bloom's taxonomies. There's no other purpose for psychology. There's no other purpose for sociology. There's no other purpose for philosophy. It's to destroy the father's authority. Romans, in the 10th chapter, Paul says, not knowing the righteousness of God, they set out to establish their own righteousness, therefore not fulfilling the righteousness of God. There's a way that seemeth right unto man, but the end thereof are the ways of death. Without the word of God, man doesn't live by bread alone, but by every word which proceeds from the mouth of God. And the heresy that's happened today, you go to seminary, you're going to study Metzger and all in Nestle Greek. Now, I'm not King James only, but King James, Geneva, Tyndale, those Bibles came from what's called Textus Receptus. But 1880, now that was back in the 1400s, they were compiled. And so you go to Strong's Concordance, and there they are. That's the Greek. But in 1880, two men who are Catholic, they were Catholics who brought in dialogue. That's what Luther discovered in the libraries. He was trying to be a good Catholic. Then he found out you take a verse, you pull out the words, you go, I feel and I think, you change the words, make them contemporary, make them relevant to change, put the scriptures back together with those words, and you have a Gnostic structure. It's no longer God's word. The moment you go, I feel and I think, to the word of God, it's no longer his word. It's your word. You are God. That's why Jesus didn't go, I feel and I think. He said, it is written, it is written, it is written. You weigh the word with a word. And the agenda was, how can we create confusion? So you go to seminary, you're going to learn from the Metzger and all in the Nestle Greek. You ought to study them. You ought to get a hold of them. Look, how many of scriptures in the Textus Receptus are mocked and ridiculed, not called A, B, C, but D. It mocks and ridicules the early scriptures that were, that's where the whole Protestant Reformation came from. The Protestants aren't Protestants anymore. It's confusion, deliberately done. Words that are solid in the King James are ambiguous in the current translations, because it's like propitiation. There are four steps to it. And so they'll choose one word for the, and you miss the whole thing. And so words are important. But you go to seminary, and what I've just said, I would be booed out of the class. That's the heresy that's going on. And thank God when I took Greek, there were professors that said, something's wrong with the Metzger Allen Nestle Greek. And what's missing is the story of Gnosticism, which was simply bringing human feelings into the interpretation of everything in life, which is lust of the flesh, lust of the eyes, pride of life, generalizing, contemporizing the word of God. Now, when God speaks, it's his word. The Holy Spirit bears witness to the word of God, not the opinions of men. But that's why you say, well, how can a church that's conservative end up over being liberal? It's because somebody with good intention, we have to have everybody and participate, even the lost. And so I'll ask them how they feel and what they think about a verse. And you're going down the pathway of Marxism. And you think I'm being harsh? No. Jesus asked Peter, Who do men say that I am? In other words, give me the facts, ma'am. You know, Sergeant Friday in Dragnet. Then he says to Peter, who do you say that I am? And Peter's response is, listen to this, thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. And in Jesus' response, he calls him Peter. He doesn't call him a rock. He's a little pebble. He says, on this rock I will build my church. Peter, this didn't come from you. This came from my Father. Do you understand what Jesus is saying? My Father spoke to you. My Father spoke to you. I'm going to build my church on my Father speaking to the believers. You know, people come up after meetings. What do we do? What do we do? What do we do? 5,000 meetings. Many times halfway through, teachers are in tears. They hate this stuff. It's gutting them, and it's gutting the students, and it's gutting the nation. You go to a church that's full of teachers that are on Bloom's taxonomy, you're in a liberal church. They can call themselves Christian all day long. They wouldn't be sitting in there if they were hearing the Word of God. And I just simply tell them, listen, they go, what do I do? What do I do? You've got a Heavenly Father that's just waiting for you to say, hey, Dad, what do I do? How'd you like to be a father and your children never talk to you? That's why Jesus came. He came that you would talk to your Heavenly Father. And you say, well, I don't ever get what I want. Well, if you're depressed, like I said last time, the only reason you're depressed, God's not doing it your way, because you're seeking to consume it to yourself. God told Adam, you can eat these, you can't do that. And if you do that, you're going to die. Last month, my wife died. I sat next to her, and I saw a woman, when she realized she was dying, her whole heart, I saw a woman seeking the Lord. She was before, but not with the intensity that I experienced. I had never seen anyone with such purpose in her life to spend eternity. In fact, I had worship this morning with my wife. The only difference was she was personally before the Lord. I'm waiting for my time. See, and then Malchus, oh, well, you're so heavenly minded, you're of no earthly good. Well, look at Job. What was he doing? He was just sitting around with a bunch of sores on him. Not worth much, was he? But his testimony was, Lord, even though it's you who comes in to slay me, I will still serve you. And so the whole concept of Marxism is your communication with yourself and with others. Are you leaving God out? Are you weighing it? Even in the grocery stores, I'll go up and down the aisle and say, Lord, is this what you want? Is this what is this important enough that I, and a lot of times it isn't, sometimes it isn't. We're to take captive every thought to the obedience of Christ. We're to cast down every imagination, everything that comes into our mind that our eyes perceive in our minds, we're to cast it down. That exalts itself against the knowing of God. My people are destroyed for lack of knowing. How do you know? You in the Word? You reading the Scriptures? You studying it? Study to show yourself approved unto who? Unto your neighbors? To the minister? To the church? No, to God. And it's the Holy Spirit that will take that learning and apply it in your life. So now we have, even in the church, the Marxist language of I feel and I think, the language of psychology. Everybody, let's all dialogue our opinions and let's see if we can come to a consensus. That's a Soviet system, by the way. Diverse group dialogue into consensus over social issues in a facilitated meeting with a facilitator in control to a predetermined outcome. See, the facilitator of change. Marx said the philosophers all interpret the world in many different ways, so we have all these different churches, different interpretation. We're never going to get harmony out of that. God's probably not happy. And I would say he's not happy with all the division because we are to love one another. But a lot of people have got their opinions out front. They, you know, churches are wrapped around so-and-so's opinion of the Word of God rather than reading the Word of God. I told ministers, and they've done it. Quit saying, we believe, we believe, we believe. The other church down the road says, we believe, we believe, we believe. It's just an opinion. say the Word of God says, the Word of God says, the Word of God says. And when somebody reads your bylaws, they're going to come under conviction because there is no conviction with your opinion. There is no conviction in I feel and I think. There is no accountability or sovereignty in I feel or I think. It's all subjective. It's in the Word of God. The word Protestant means thou to protest too much. Like the Waldensians, even when the Catholics caught the Waldensians, they said they knew more scripture than the Pope. The plowboy. They didn't just learn a verse or two, they learned whole chapters and books as young people. But no, we just do, you know, actually we go to church and entertain ourselves. Well, if we entertain them, they'll come. You know, I'm not saying it's boring. It's not. The hymns, they're gone. You ever read the words? I know a guy who went to seminary or Christian college, learned Greek, was as dead as a doornail, went to Copenhagen. And he told me, he said, I came to the Lord in Copenhagen. I said, nobody comes to the Lord in Copenhagen. He said, yeah. He said, I was singing the hymn to me, Living for Jesus. He came under conviction because it's a convicting song. Those hymns, some of them were bad, but some of them are godly, appointed, divine words that give you depth of understanding, that bring you to life and death. A lot of them are dealing with death. Choose today who you will serve. You have no promise about tomorrow. There's no guarantee. We're all going to die. You know, have a pity party. Wow, look at me. No, look at how many. Where's Caesar? Where's Herod? Where's the great people we study in scripture or we study in history class? They're dead. But they were walking around. They were thinking like you and me. Some of them had more power and clout, and others didn't. So one professor said, there are going to be more people in heaven out of the dark ages because it was life and death. Now we just have convenience. It just happens to somebody else. You don't weigh your life, because if you are weighing your communication with what does Dad want me to do to yourself, and you're doing the same thing, in all your ways acknowledge Him. In all your ways, acknowledge Him. In all your ways, acknowledge Him. And let Him be the one who directs your path. You want an anecdote to this poison called the dialectic process? The poison that we carry around with us? That our children carry around with us? Oh, I hope my children learn to get along. So you send your child into this process, and they're going to be totally dedicated to lust of the flesh, lust of the eyes, pride of life. Sensuous needs, sense perception, sense experience. You send them to counseling. I met a parent who'd spent $70,000 in 3 years for their son to take counseling. He was worse than when he began. Well, no wonder. Like I said last time, that I know a Christian school, and they're all over the nation, but in Arkansas, and their parents were wondering, how can these students be at lunch going out in their cars and having sex? How can that happen at a Christian school? They were using Bloom's taxonomies. That's the outcome, folks. And there will be teachers that will die defending it because they're dying to defend their lust of the flesh, lust of the eyes, and pride of life. You cannot be a Christian teacher and use Bloom's taxonomy because they are committed with the affective domain to, that's Pandora's box. Bloom says it, a box full of evils, which you're going to have to use to get a good grade and to get a profession in the teaching classroom. You have to sell your soul to the beast if you're going to use Bloom's taxonomy. Because knowing is not God. Knowing is your sense experience. Application is not obeying God. Application is applying your lust of the flesh, lust of the eyes, pride of life to the current situation. It's abomination. And it's even used in homeschooling material. Christian co-ops are, you know, I know a Christian co-op that they put on a secular play. Godless play. Socialist play. How can that happen? because they're trying to impress one another. That's what, you know how colleges, all, we had like, I don't know, 120 colleges all started to evangelize, and within a few years, they were corrupt and compromised because somebody came along and said, we can reach more people. I know how we can reach more people. And the only way you're going to reach more people is to move from discussion, what the Word of God says, to dialogue, how people feel and what they think. See, I'm harping on this dialogue thing. It's a part of our life. As long as you're at the smorgasbord and it's a food that, you know, you can choose. I like this, I don't like that. The spectrum thing. But when you come to something that's not good for you and you go to dialogue, well, I like it. Go for it. You'll pay the price. That's all that happened in the garden. The woman went to dialogue, not discussion. And besides, discussion wouldn't have been with the serpent. It would have been with God. It would have been with Adam. That's why I always start with, again, trust in the Lord with all your heart. Study the Word to show yourself approved unto God. And lean not to your own understanding. It's called Alfhaben. You pick up something. There are things you're not to pick up. Oh, let me examine that. No. Walk away from it. Flee youthful lust. We just entertain ourselves with it. It bothered me that elders in the church and deacons were watching HBO. Well, that's nothing to what's out there today. And yet it's abomination. It's immorality. It corrupts the mind. Oh, I can handle it. Sure. No, you can't. The Bible says flee. Flee youthful lust. I mean, don't casually walk around it looking at it. Well, maybe I shouldn't. You flee. You say, well, I won't have any fun in life. Well, I actually have a friend. He's still a friend. It told me in my face, said, you know, I don't want to see you anymore. He actually said that to me. I don't see you anymore. Oh, why? You're no fun. You're no fun. That's Paul, again, if I was out to please men, I wouldn't be a servant of Christ. Jesus wasn't playing card games with the disciples and the apostles, eventually apostles. Apostles weren't playing card games. Well, we got to entertain ourselves. You don't get bored. Well, do you truly love the Lord with all your heart? You're going to spend eternity in heaven? How are you going to like that? There's no NFL football game there. Not there. There's no NASCAR races. Not there. And we're just live today as though we're in the heavenlies. If you're walking in Christ, you're going to be living in this life. Christ in you. Die to yourself. Die to yourself daily. Pick up your cross daily. In other words, don't approve. If somebody's in sin and you have the opportunity to correct them and say, that's sin, that's wrong. Well, wait a minute, you know, let's wait until we have an opportunity to, you know, bond with them and we'll build relationship on I feel and I think and eventually I can witness to them. No, you lost your witness. Well, nobody's going to be talking to me. I kiddingly say all my friends have no friends. See, where is that? Thus saith the Lord, in our communication with one another. See, that's Gnostic. Gnostic is a humanizing of the Word of God. Bring it down where the world can understand it. No, lean to not to your own understanding. It's joy unspeakable. It's from God. Peace that transcends understanding. It's from God. Love, not as the world loves. That's lust. That's eros. But love of God. God's love, which is, He sent His Son. The Father sent His Son. The Son came. And we're to pray for one and to pray for those who despitefully use you. Lots of direction in the Word of God about not being wrapped up in this life. Well, so-and-so wronged me, I'm going to wrong them back. Nope. Enough said. Don't do the dialectic process. Don't participate in this process. If you participate to get a good grade or promotion, you're on the broad pathway. It is the broad pathway. Your communication with yourself is, what does Dad want me to do? See, Roger said prior to therapy, the person says, what would my father say? During therapy, what does it mean to me? And eventually, what does society think? What does a group think? What does a master facilitator of change think? You ever hear a minister say, I'm going to facilitate change? Show him where in Scripture the master facilitator of change was getting a woman in a garden to dialogue with herself, I feel and I think, and liberating herself from God's word. That's the only purpose for the facilitator of change. And he'll say, you know, he perceives himself as being the same as the people. And so therefore, he's trying to deliver the people from external authority that prevents them from being themselves. And he'll say, well, it's not all about you when you question him. No, it's all about him. The only reason that facilitator up front is orchestrating the meeting is so that he can sin with everybody's approval. There's no other purpose for him to be up there. Oh, he's there to help you and to help solve a problem and to help build a building or whatever agenda you have. No, he's there just like Lucifer was in the garden to justify himself. Because if God's creation worships themselves, then I have every right to worship myself. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Lean not to your own understanding, and in all your ways acknowledge Him. We're just passing through. We're just passing through. Life is short. Some days it seems like it's forever. That's why you endure and you suffer. Jesus despised the shame of the cross, the mocking, and not just the pain, but the rejection of one who came in love. But he looked forward to the joy that lie ahead. What's that joy? You. You're his joy. Are you going to be there with him? Or are you simply going to go down the dialectic pathway, talking to yourself, what can I get out of this for me? I, me, and myself. Or are you going to say to yourself, what would the Lord want me to do today? In all your ways, acknowledge Him. And let Him be the one who directs your path. You just got to give up early. Just give up and allow Him to work His perfect will through your life. How do you overcome the enemy? The blood of the Lamb, what He's done. The word of your testimony, what He's doing in your life. Do you have a testimony? And in all your ways, and you love not your life to the death. You know, God takes pleasure in the death of the saints. Now, we look at it a little different. You know, maybe yes, maybe no. You know, we're on this side. A friend of mine's wife was passing away, and she made this statement. She said, death is not to be feared. Death is simply the door which we must pass through to meet our blessed Savior. Then left a note for her husband. Keep your heart tender before the Lord. A hymn comes to mind. On Christ the solid rock I stand. All other ground is sinking sand. The Word of God is that solid rock. Your opinion and everybody else's opinion of it is sinking sand.